welcome to the podcast. I'm Richard McClain.
I'm Glenn Stitton.
And this is Please Leave a Message. Actually call in and leave a message with us this week, but the message got cut off at the end, so we didn't get the end of his story. We had somebody call in and share with us a gaming story about a video game that they play, and he actually messaged me after he left the message. He's like, I got cut off, I'll call in again and leave a message another time. So if you call in, you can tell us all kinds of stories. We've been asking for the craziest thing that ever happened to you. That'd be a good story. Whatever you call and leave a message with us, we'll try to share it on the podcast in the future. So the number to call is 801-SKETCH-1. That's 801-753-8241. And just call us, leave a message, and we'll feature it on the show. So with us this week, our guest host is...
Glenn Stuckey.
So tell us who you are and what you do.
I'm a Walmart greeter and a Walmart cashier. But more importantly, I am a co-founder of a nonprofit organization called Change for Love. What we do is we paint pictures for like kids in the hospital and kids just having bad days and that just need to be inspired, because I know like artwork really inspires me.
Awesome. What inspired you to start that nonprofit?
When I was 11, I was in a bad jet ski accident. It put me in a coma for 6 weeks. And when I woke up, I was paralyzed and I couldn't talk. And I thought, like, I must be in a dream. Yeah. But then I looked around me and I saw all these, like, superhero pictures. My uncle had drawn me these really cool superhero pictures and placed them all over my room. And I thought, I think this is a dream, but... Because I really like superheroes, I think this is going to be a good dream. It was such a long process. Every morning I wake up to see if I had woken up out of the dream, and the same white room was there. And I'm like, oh, I haven't woken up yet. I'll just keep trying harder to be like the superheroes. And that's why I paint superheroes for kids, so that they will think of this life as a good dream.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's great. I went to an art show this weekend, actually.
Really?
It was a friend of ours, and she was painting, and her husband is a musician, and he recently left the band that he was in, and so this was the first time he'd performed as a solo act.
Really?
For a long time. It had been a while since he'd done that. So we went to go hear him play, and we ended up buying one of her pieces of artwork, so I'm really excited to get that hung up on the wall.
That's cool.
As you can see, we've got lots of stuff on the walls, and we're trying to get, because I've got a lot of prints in here, but we're trying to get more and more original artwork in the house, because we're really into that. But I was like so inspired by her artwork that I was just like, man, I got to start painting again, because I do drawings and like marker kind of artwork, like this one right here. That's mine.
Wow.
But I haven't painted since probably 2001.
Yeah, like the first time I remember painting was just in college. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like so like expressive, so like creative to me. It just like felt so good, and I really loved it. Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, I had three ideas. So I've sketched out these three ideas, and now I'm trying to figure out how to do it, because they're bigger than anything I've ever painted before.
Really?
But I'm just really...
Like how big?
Like one of them's like 5 feet tall and like 3 feet wide.
Wow.
So, but it's going to be cool. It's a really cool idea.
That's cool.
So I'm really excited. And so, yeah, I've been trying to figure out... I used to paint on just those cheap canvases that you can buy, but I want to do something a little more sturdy.
Yeah. What I paint on is I just go to Home Depot and buy those like big Masonite
right
boards, yeah, and just have them like cut up. Uh-huh. And I paint thousands and thousands and thousands of pictures, just like, and then give them away just as fast as I can paint them, because I have this list of kids that have like requested paintings from me. Mm-hmm. And they all like request like superheroes, and like, and how I like prioritize them, mm-hmm, is how much love I felt. Because when I got in my accident, mm-hmm, the left side of the brain was damaged.
Okay.
And that's the logic center. But the right side, the emotional side, and the creative side wasn't damaged. And so that's like the side that has kept like growing, and that just like speaks to me like so much louder than logic. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, I really love this person. I love this person. He's next. Yeah. And that's why my organization is called Change for Love, because yeah, Superman has to like change for love to like save the person.
That's Change the
number four love. Yeah, .org. Yeah.
And you go check it out.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I was thinking about doing Masonite, and I was reading online because I'd never painted on that before. Yeah. And it said that there were two kinds. It says there's tempered and untempered. And it says that, like, what kind of paint do you use?
Acrylic.
Okay. So it said that you shouldn't use acrylic paints on tempered Masonite because they temper it with oil and then the paint doesn't want to stick to it, is what I read.
Because, like, buying, like, canvases is, like, way too expensive.
Yeah.
Way too expensive.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Awesome. Okay, we're going to play a song.
Всегда буду ждать. за твою любовь все отдам.
What did you think of that?
I thought it was amazing.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool. Yeah, I really like different language musics.
So I picked this one because the podcast is called Please Leave a Message. And in the middle of the song, you hear a phone ring and then it picks up. And like there's a guy talking. And it sounds like he's talking on a message machine.
Yeah.
But I have no idea what they're saying because it's all in Russian. Microsoft has an app where you can like take a picture and then it translates what you take a picture of.
Really?
So I tried to translate this, but it was just too... It was a lot of nonsense. Because it's like artist names and...
Yeah.
You know how songs are like weird names and stuff.
And it's Bart Simpson.
Yeah. I think it's totally bootleg. It's got Bart Simpson on it, and it's
yeah.
got...
Yeah.
I don't know that guy's name. He's from Sonic the Hedgehog, though.
Oh, like Knuckles?
Yeah, I think that's Knuckles. I think that's, yeah.
Totally bootleg.
Yeah. That's all like dance music and stuff.
Oh, that's so funny.
The only English on the whole thing is right here. 2002 copyright Russian dance studio.
Oh, cool.
So I'm going to put a picture of the cover on our Instagram feed.
Oh, cool.
I rediscovered our Instagram. So... When Jess left the podcast, there were certain things that I just kind of ignored. Instagram was one of them. Twitter was the other one. I've kept up on the Facebook stuff. But I logged into the Instagram today, and I'm like, I can do Instagram. Because they changed it so you can switch between accounts now. Yeah. It used to be really hard to do that. But they fixed it so you can kind of switch between a couple. So I'm going to start being more active on the Instagram for the podcast. So I'll put a picture of this CD on there so everybody can see what we're talking about. It's in Russian. It has the number 31 on it. It's got a picture of Bart Simpson swinging a baseball bat.
It looks pretty groovy, pretty groovy.
And on the CD itself, there's a picture of Knuckles from Sonic the Hedgehog. And it's all Cyrillic writing, so I have no idea what it says.
It looks so groovy.
And the only thing I can read on it, the only thing in English, it says it's got the 2002 copyright and performance rights from Russian Dance Studio. So maybe that's the name of the group. I don't know. When I tried to do a reverse Google image search,
yeah.
So I took a picture of it and I loaded it up to Google and said, use this as a search image. And the only thing it found was Bart Simpson. Bart Simpson baseball. And so I thought maybe it's because I'm only searching English. So I went to go change it, the language to Russian. But then I thought maybe I can't get it back because I can't read it. So I won't change it. But I did notice this right here at the top. That's exactly what it said for the language option. So I think that might just say Russia or Russian right there. And then when I ripped it to my computer... So I could play it on the podcast. It found the name of track number 2 and I think track number 16 or 17. So I did...
Really? What were those called?
Well, no, it found this. It came up just like that in my program that rips. It didn't find anything else. It didn't even know the name of the album, but it found that track and it found that track.
I see.
And that one... So I thought, okay, I'll copy and paste that into Google and see what comes up.
Yeah.
And I don't do that. Do not paste track number 2 into Google. Bad stuff, Cam.
Bad stuff.
Bad stuff. So I decided not to play track 2 because who knows what they're saying. It could be naughty.
Naughty, naughty.
So, no, I'm going to avoid that. Anyway, so yeah, that was a cool song. I love it when I find stuff like that at the DI. It's great. I came across this article the other day at the New York Times that was really interesting to me. It's called The Utter Uselessness of Job Interviews.
Yeah, job interviews are...
Everyone hates them, right?
Yeah, pretty useless.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
So the guy starts by talking about a friend of his that had a job interview. And so she went and she arrived 5 minutes early. And they immediately ushered her into the room. And then they had a nice discussion. And then afterwards, one of the interviewers said he was really impressed at how composed she was after showing up 25 minutes late. So it turns out that they had told her the wrong starting time. And so she didn't feel like she was late. And so she wasn't acting like she was late. And he said she's the kind of person that if she was late, she would have been totally freaked out. But they were so impressed that she was cool under pressure after being late that they ended up hiring her.
What?
Yeah. And so it says that, like, everybody's starting to use these free-form interviews. So, like, even to get into universities and all kinds of stuff like that, they're using this kind of stuff. But then, so this study... Oh, one of the other stories it talks about. So it was University of Texas Medical School, and they received information from, like, the state legislature that said they needed to increase their class size by 50 students. Yeah. So it was kind of late in the season, and so they had these 50 students that they had gotten up to a certain point in the interview process, and then they weren't going to go forward. They had been cut off at that point. But because they needed to let 50 people in, they let these 50 people in that they weren't going to let in.
Wow.
And those students who didn't do good on their interview, they checked their process. They were just as good as the students that had been left in, like, as far as their statistics. It says their attrition, academic performance, clinical performance, because it was a medical school, and honors earned. So all of that was just at the same level as those that had been let in.
Cool.
So,
yeah.
So it goes on and on and on about these different studies and how pointless that interviews are. They conducted a study where they had these people do interviews, and half of the people doing the interview were just giving random answers based on the question. So they'd listen to the question and they'd pay attention to the last two letters in the question. And if those letters, so they had two categories, A through M and N through Z. And if both of those letters were in the same category, they'd answer positively. And if they were in different categories, they'd answer negatively. So they're just making stuff up. So then they let the people know this, and it turns out that, like, they were judging them on their future grades, like their next semester's grades.
Yeah.
So they were looking at their statistics from the past, and then they interviewed them, and then the people that did the interviews were supposed to guess what kind of grade they would get next semester. And then half the interviews were just like these fake interviews. They rated the people that they got to know slightly higher than average. And most of those were the people that were given random questions. So it's like, it's not really like they were getting to know them at all. They explained what they'd done and then asked them to rank the information they would like to have when making a prediction. Either honest interviews, random interviews, or no interview at all. And remember, the people that had no interview, they had judged more correctly. But they still would rather base their predictions on an interview, even though that they knew the interview information was fake. Because as humans, we have this ability to make connections that aren't really there just because we're having a personal...
Yeah. Like, we make, like, false, like, assumptions. Right. Yeah. And we just, like, think we know what they're saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have this incredible ability to see patterns where there are none.
Yeah.
So I thought this was really interesting. And the thing that caught my eye about this article, well, the reason I read it is because, A, I really hate interviews. I don't generally do very good on them.
Yeah.
Except the job I currently have. I beat out 40 applicants for this one.
Really?
Yeah. I felt pretty good when they told me that.
That's cool.
So they said one of the ways that you can combat that, instead of doing these kind of free-flowing, just random, get-to-know-each-other type interviews, one of the things that they can do is The option is to structure interviews so that all candidates receive the same questions. So you ask everybody the same questions, then you'll get better results.
Yeah.
Instead of just inviting them in and just kind of la 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 talking about whatever, right?
Yeah.
And then the other thing that you can do is actually have them actually test them on their job skills. Say, okay, you're here. Show us how you would do this, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, actually, me and my partner Bart, we were interviewing this intern to work with us, and it was crazy. We were just asking him questions. He would just like say the most random off the wall like answers, and we're all, yeah, like we don't really, yeah. I guess we felt like kind of good about it because he kind of knew what he wasn't talking about, and yeah, and we said, okay, you have the job. Yeah, but like that interview, like it told us nothing about him.
Crazy. Yeah, so job interviews, we all know it. They're useless.
Yep.
So at least those freeform ones.
Yeah.
All right. So you brought some found audio for us.
I did.
So tell us about it.
Okay. So I was cashiering at Walmart, and I couldn't open this movie case like that was on there because of security reasons.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm all, ugh. And I just handed it to the customer's kid, and I'm all, you deal with it. Yeah, and like I continued on checking and stuff, and like he figured it out, and I'm all, you're amazing! You are amazing! Yeah, and I guess that really touched this lady that I would like make such a big deal about this little thing that her son did. And then she just said, Glenn, I'm going to write a song about you because you're a superhero.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
All right. So let's listen to this song.
You're just like Superman. You can reach through the clouds, you're making a difference. Helping me to fight doubt, you're sharing your bright light. When you're here, there's no dark, your heart gives me courage. So I can brave my fight, you're my super. Through some hard things, and I'm sure there was pain. You probably asked why, or wondered what does this mean. But you made a choice then to not let it bring you down. You chose to spread goodness and make everyone your friend. You're my superhero. And without a cape and without a mask, you help me. You're my superhero. And the way you love and the shine so bright. You
superhero too, just like you, a superhero too. You're my superhero. You're my superhero.
Pretty legit, huh?
That's pretty awesome.
Pretty cool.
So that was Mandy Grace Sittler.
Yeah.
And You're My Superhero.
Yeah.
Written for Glenn. That's awesome.
Yeah. She just like wrote it, and then the next week she gave it to me. And I'm all tight.
That's awesome.
What up? People write songs about me.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
That's cool. The next thing up on the podcast is an interview with Steel Cell Duty. All right, so we call this part of the podcast I Tick. We ask everybody the same 6 questions, and we're just trying to figure out what makes a person tick. All right, tell us your name and what you do.
My name is Steel Cell Duty. I play music. I produce. I also play bass in a band called Van Lady Love.
Tell us your earliest memory.
That would either be the time I got hit by a kid on a mountain bike and it cut my leg open and I had to get stitches at the hospital. Or right around that time, I climbed up onto our 3rd-story roof all the way. So I was like hanging off the edge. My mom had to come chase me, find me, and then climb up after me. I'm just sitting there dangling my feet off the edge, just like looking out at the cars. And my mom's like 8 months pregnant with my little brother, just is having a panic attack. And I can totally remember sitting on that roof, looking down, seeing the cars. Like, I can remember that. So I was probably like 4 or 3. She was pregnant with my brother. I'm 2.5 years older than my brother, so yeah, I must have been like 2.5.
Holy cats.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
You can totally remember that.
All right. Tell us a story from your childhood that's been influential in your life. Maybe something you haven't shared often.
One of the earliest memories I have of wanting to play music was I was homeschooled, so we traveled a lot, and we went to the Alamo one time as a family. I remember being in the Alamo, and the music that was playing like on the speaker system inside the Alamo or like the visitor centers. I must have been like 7 or younger, and I remember hearing some rock song. It was some like 80s, like someone shredding or something. It's like guitar lead, kind of cool stuff. And I remember just thinking, oh, I just want to be a musician. That's what I want to do. That's something most people don't know about me. Kind of a random place, the Alamo of all things. I've only been in Alamo one time, and I remember that.
That's awesome.
So remember the Alamo.
That's great. All right, share with us a piece of music that's been highly influential in your life.
For me, I feel like there's kind of 3. If you were to look at my career in music, you could find like 3 checkpoints that almost align into this tunnel that make me what I am now. That started out with boy band pop. Was my first like fanatic love when I was 8, 9, 10. I love that. I mean, that rock thing caught me. I always loved rock and roll, but then when the whole NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, you know, Britney Spears, who's not a boy, but that whole, I guess, Disney pop thing, it just, like, that's probably the 2nd major kick that made me want to do music. I had all the dance moves memorized, the Bye Bye Bye. Disney Channel would, like, rerun this, like, NSYNC concert, like, every night at a, like, certain period of time. They just, like, had it rerunning for a while, and I used to just, like, watch it over and over and over again. And then my dad, this is right when this little thing called illegal downloading first started emerging back in the early 2000s.
Good old Napster.
Yep, Napster. And so my friend showed me Napster. Of course, it was an Asian kid that showed me Napster. Of course, he's figured it out before I did. So I must have been like 10, 11, way into Backstreet Boys, and he showed me Napster. And the first thing I went and did is downloaded all the NSYNC and Backstreet Boys I could. But if you recall those times, this is right before we got cable internet. So this was on a 56K dial-up modem. Most of you kids probably don't know what that is.
It's slow.
Let's just say if you wanted to download a record, that was an entire day endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
You want to download a song, you're probably looking at like 45 minutes to an hour. You could preview them. I don't know if that was an initial Napster feature, but they came out where you could preview the song while it was downloading. So that was cool. You could like hear the first 5 seconds, and like 10 minutes later you could hear like the next, you know, 10 or 15 seconds. And sometimes you'd find garbage, just compressed, just MP3 thrashed versions of songs, and it was like, and I didn't really know any better at the time. I didn't really know what that was. It was just like, I was like, cool, I got this song. Like, you know, prior to that, it was cassette tapes. You'd record songs off the radio. You know, you'd wait and hope you could catch your favorite song. Sometimes you'd catch it, the song already started, you'd flip to a channel, oh my gosh, I'm missing it. Throwing your tape, hopefully your tape was lined up so you didn't record over something else. So hopefully you had it queued, you were smart, and you had it ready to go. So occasionally you'd record over your stuff, or you'd get the DJ talking, and you're like, shut up! But I guess I digress. So Napster came out, started downloading Instinct, Backstreet Boys. My dad, probably rightfully so, started becoming concerned for his son. He's definitely very traditional and conservative. So, he definitely wanted a masculine son. When he was memorizing all the dance moves to Backstreet Boys, I think he was a little bit worried about me. So he was like, my dad's very conservative, he's very religious, very believes, you know, his convictions, and he's very passionate about it. And so one of the things he did when he had kids, I don't know if this is misguided or not, but he thought it was a good thing. He actually got rid of all of his records, all of his everything, his music, because he felt like the lyrical content and the beat and everything was just, you know, not the kind of environment he wanted in the house. So he got rid of everything. So he kind of lived in this vacuum of outside music. We weren't allowed to listen to the radio. Of course I would, and sneak it. I remember sneaking and listening to Nirvana and Marcy's Playground, but I was about 12, 13 at this time, maybe. And so I think my dad finally was like, okay, it's going downhill with NSYNC. Time to bring the old records out. And now there's this new thing called Napster. So he sent me, it was Shimmel's NSYNC songs. So he's like, hold on, go download Rush, go download Led Zeppelin, go download like Pink Floyd, go download Jimi Hendrix, the Mamas and the Papas, Fleetwood Mac, U2. So kind of an eclectic mix of like 70s, 80s was kind of his era. Mostly rock, some soft rock stuff. A little bit of new wave, because that's what my mom liked. My dad wasn't so much into that stuff. And from there, I literally, like, made a shift where I forsook all NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. Dish! I then hated that kind of music, you know. And I was a classic rock guy. And that's kind of I have three tattoos. They're all Led Zeppelin. Led Zeppelin's my favorite band. That's what really solidified my love for guitar. When we learned, me and my brother, he's a drummer, and we learned, like, every Zeppelin song, every Rush song. So it's a very, very formative and influential time. It's very influenced my playing style. You know, I'm not like a jazz trained person. I'm not, you know, I kind of have that blues rock foundation. It's like where I really spent time learning the guitar. A little bit of like 90s alternative kind of into early 2000. And that turned into a love for pop punk and, you know, every other wave phase we've had. But the thing that really has grabbed me in the last 5 or 6 years is electronic music and electronic music production and sampling. Sound synthesis, sound design. And what I love about sampling is it's kind of like honoring my roots and really exploring that side and some music that I never was exposed to from that time and breathing fresh life into it with the new technology. You know, I have a computer techie kind of background in software and different things. So, you know, marrying the two things together just seemed natural.
Awesome. All right, share with us another piece of media that's been influential in your life. And this can be anything, movies, cartoons, newspaper, board game, just something different. It can be more music if you want.
Yeah, I would say two things. I would say video games. Video games was a huge part of my childhood. I think I was maybe one of the first generations to be born into video games. You know, I think generation maybe right above me, my older cousins, they kind of like, I guess they were born into it, but it wasn't, you know, the Ataris were probably around when they were kids, but it wasn't as massive to where, like, you know, when I was old enough to remember, it was like Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo, like, it was, that was like, that's as early back as I can remember, like, that stuff was there when I was born. So I think that's had a major impact, that I've grown up in the early digital and playing so much video games. There's so much music in video games. There's so much, you know, there's a big movement with taking out processors out of old Ataris and Nintendos, putting them in audio interfaces and accessing them with MIDI controllers to get those 8-bit sounds. And it's that nostalgia. That's why all these movements with vinyl sampling or analog recording or any of these things that we do, it's all about tapping that emotion of nostalgia, I think. I think for my generation, record players are not nostalgic for us. Record players are novel. Does that make sense?
They're nostalgic for me.
Right, but they're not. I like to think of them as nostalgic.
How old are you?
28.
Okay.
So no one had record players.
I'm 12 years older than you. So yeah, I grew up with one of those Fisher-Price plastic record players that like everybody had.
Never even seen one. For me, what's nostalgic is cassette tapes, CDs. Mm-hmm. CDs was like, I mean, I think CDs came out in 1988.
It did, but they didn't really take off till
probably
mid-90s.
Mid to late 90s, yeah.
Yeah.
But think about it, in 1998, I was, in 1999, I was 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, a vinyl is a history item, which is what I love about vinyl, but it's not nostalgic in the same way as to you. So for me, what I really like tapping into is like, I mean, not for me, just it's like what I relate to is early digital, late cassette, early video games. Nintendo 64 came out when I was a teenager. That was the first like 3D big gaming system.
So yeah, I grew up with records, but I really loved tapes because I could record onto them.
Yeah, that changed the game.
So yeah, I had, and I did stuff like, I was listening to a tape one day and I heard a piece of it and I'm like, I think that's backwards. So I disassembled the tape. I flipped it.
That's hilarious.
And played it so I could hear what it said backwards.
And did it say anything?
Yeah, it did. There was a, it was said, if you're looking for a hidden message, there is none. Please take a note of it.
That's hilarious. Do you remember what the piece of music was?
It's Too New is the band. I can't remember what
song. Was it an 80s release or a 70s release?
I think that was a 90s release, actually.
Oh, really? That's funny.
Like early 90s. I'd have to look up to be sure. But.
And I have a love for that early 90s. I don't have much of a memory, but it is something core to me. That's when I was, like, born, you know? I was 1989, so I would say I don't have really any relation to the 80s. What I remember, like, my earliest memories would have been, you know, 92, 93, 94. Mm-hmm. So, I think it really is just about relating. Like, you have to progress, and you also have to, like, relate to the past. Since I think time goes on, it's like, you kind of like, I mean, you can kind of bring this back in. It's just always a shift of moving forward and then kind of always borrowing. And because we want to hear new things, but we also feel really comfortable and cozy and warm and happy when we hear things. It's like, and most people listen to music have no idea why it is that they're feeling that way. But I think us as musicians, as we study music more and more, we understand what it is about music that is relatable and we can use that as tools in our arsenal.
Cool. Tell us your passion and why you do it.
Well, you know, I'm pretty casual about music. It's kind of all right. I do it sometimes for fun, you know. It's okay. No, I'm just kidding. I would say I'm really passionate about music. I'm really passionate about people. I'm really passionate about, and that entails individually and on a cultural level, I just love that we're humans. It's like this very unique being that, like, creates things and has communications and has set rules and expectations and understandings and different historical perspectives. I think music is such a cool documentation of that. You go to different cultures and you see the different influences of the different things that were available and the cultural and political things that were happening. And to me, it's really cool that it is like a snapshot in time. It's a story captured in a time capsule. So I'm passionate about music and people. Those things kind of relate to me. And I'm also very passionate about outdoors. I think it's just such a peaceful, rejuvenating, amazing, awe-inspiring, just awesome. Especially being here in Utah, it's just amazing. For a lot of years, I hated living in Utah, but I think I just had to adjust.
Steele, what makes you tick?
I don't know, it sounds stupid, but I think lately it's been making me tick. I knew it always has. I don't know, maybe not when I was younger, but I just didn't even know what made me tick. I think it's just like moving forward, it's learning new things, it's progressing, it's I don't know, I think as I've gotten older, I just like really like the idea of having self-mastery and becoming enlightened and connecting with other people in that way and like bringing that positive energy to everything that I work on, everyone that I'm in contact with. And just like, I feel like there's like a karma or a vibe or an energy of people that are creating, working in harmony and solving problems and like moving the human race forward. I think in the past, you look through history, and there's people that have like really tried to do that. Our founding fathers, you know, different political, historical people. You know, the Renaissance time, the Medicis, how they funded art and they funded science. And, you know, I just want to do whatever I can to play my small part in like leaving a positive legacy somehow.
Cool. Thanks. All right. Well, if people want to see your work or contact you, hire you, whatever, how can they get a hold of you or find you?
You can email me, or I'm on Facebook, so it's really easy to look me up. There's not too many Steels out there. My email is steel.inbox@gmail.com. My name is Steel Riley Salduti on Facebook, so you just look me up. I usually respond to most requests, unless you look like a, you know, bot account trying to get me to the dubious adult website.
All right, thank you. All right, so thanks for listening. Again, remember to give us a call at 801-SKETCH-1.
That's SKETCH-1.
801-SKETCH-1.
801-SKETCH-1.
Isn't that a great number?
That's amazing.
That's a great number. I was really... I spent days looking at the numbers that were open, trying to find something that it would spell that meant something. So we've got that number. Also, you can visit the website, pleaseleavemessage.com. And you can also visit us at Instagram. It's Message Podcast on Instagram. And I'll have pictures of the CDs that we listened to this week. And maybe somebody knows Russian and can tell us what we listened to.
Maybe somebody does.
And if you do know Russian and you know what we listened to, call 801-SKETCH-1 and let us know.
Yeah. Please help us not... risque or scandalous.
Right. If it is, we'll have to re-edit the episode.
Yeah.
All right. But thanks for listening.